New Pod City, the only podcast hosting company in New Jersey, presents Podstock, the 2022 annual podcast conference. At Podstock, you'll hear from seasoned professionals in the podcast industry, interact with other podcasters, get familiar with equipment from podcast gear manufacturers, and enjoy a day that is programmed for experienced and beginner podcasters with keynote speaker, podcaster extraordinaire Rob Greenlee, as well as Christine Blackburn, host of the Storyworthy podcast, Travis Chapel, founder of Guestio, Charles Riddle, founder of Esquire Trademarks, Will Foskey, president of NPC Podcast Network, Frank and Christina Sasso, founders of New Pod City, and many more. Podstock, June 11th from noon to 6 at the Masonic Temple in Trenton, New Jersey. Tickets are just $99. Get your tickets now at podstock.us.
Are you ready?
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey.
Yeah.
With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, books, education, talent, events, of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
Hello, podcast. Yeah, we're back. Trenton Waves. We are back
yet for another week.
Well, yeah.
It's like forever we've been doing this show.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying. Seems like forever we've been doing this show. So here's a recent thing that's been going on.
What?
So I was in a movie.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, a la Jeff Stewart.
Yes.
From Film Blurbs.
Yes.
He called me up. He was doing a film. I'm not going to say the name of the film or anything. I don't want to ruin anything. I'm not even sure if I'm allowed to be talking about the film itself. So that's why I'm not naming the film.
Okay.
But I was in a film where I played a bar owner.
Yes.
And by the name of Sasso.
That must have been a stretch.
It was a coincidence that the name of the character was Sasso.
That's why they picked you, I guess.
And maybe that's why they picked me.
Mm-hmm.
They should have looked at my reel.
Your CV?
My CV, yes, mm-hmm. Thank you, All Things British. And so we did the shoot, and we got to watch the first cut the other day of the movie.
Yes, I know.
And you liked it?
I was there.
Yeah, we watched it together.
Yes, I liked it. I did. Here's the thing. I don't like that type of movie.
No.
I don't care if Scorsese makes it or Coppola makes it. I don't like those
Brian
movies.
Brian De Palma makes it.
Right. I don't like mafia movies.
However.
Like little boy playing with guns movies. I don't like them.
Yeah, okay. You're not helping the...
Sorry. But...
That being said, as much as you hate those films,
I did watch it, and I enjoyed it. Yes.
Yes, and mm-hmm. I can't wait to talk about it, because I have a feeling the Film Blurbs are going to review it, and I want to be on that episode with them to do that.
All right.
As a member of the cast, I guess I'm a member of the cast.
I'm waiting for the cast party. That's my
Of course, my you're thing. Always waiting for that of the event.
I'm waiting for the party.
It's like, we want to give this to somebody. Why don't we call the mayor, and let's make an event, and let's sell tickets, and let's have drinks. Like, I'm just dropping something off.
That's what I'm about.
So yes. I wasn't crazy about my performance. I told you this.
Yes.
You liked it. The director liked it.
And that's all that matters.
I guess that's all that matters.
Right. In that order.
And it's not false humility, by the way.
Okay.
I'm not looking for compliments. I legitimately just didn't like it.
Okay.
But I thought it was a really interesting process
mm-hmm.
by which a
movie
film
making.
Was made.
Yes.
I mean, this guy directed it and he also stars in it.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing firsthand how he directed it and was able to act in it, this guy's amazing.
Yeah.
His name is Kevin Interdonato. Google him. Kevin Inter, I-N-T-E-R, Donato, D-O-N-A-T-O. Go look at the IMDb page. He's very accomplished. And I know he would downplay all of this, but I want to have him on the show.
Okay.
Because it was really amazing stuff. Trenton Ways Max.
Max.
Trenton Ways Max, speaking of which, is a new, it's not a new show. We are branding Trenton Ways. Every couple of months, we're going to do an episode called Trenton Ways
Max.
Hey, you like that? I know
fancy.
Our guest is looking at me like, I like that. You'll find out who the guest is in a minute if you haven't seen the picture yet. We're going to interview people outside of Trenton, like the Trenton's the surrounding area of Trenton.
Right.
Mercer County, let's say, or Huntington, or Jersey itself.
Or Philly.
Or Georgia, right?
Oh, okay.
That's like a Supermax.
Pretty surrounding, a Supermax.
Yeah. We'll do different levels of Max.
Okay, Max and Supermax.
Max, Supermatch.
Max.
Max.
You said match.
I did not say match.
You did.
Podcast.
He said match.
Listen, we're gonna put a little thing on the school, on the website.
He's already on my side.
I don't care what he says. I don't even know this guy. I don't care what he says.
Let's introduce.
He drove in from California. Drove here from California.
I know. That's my kind of
anyway,
trip.
Kevin, you're gonna come on the show soon, right? Good. I'm glad he agreed.
Okay.
Very quick to agree.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. We're gonna start the show now.
Good.
first of all, we get an email from the esteemed Deborah Oliver.
Yes.
From the
LSA. We'll be on the show also. We'll see if we can get her on the show.
We'll see if we can wrangle
at some
her
point.
In here.
I don't yeah. know.
Good luck with that. She's a tough cookie. Anyway, she says, hey, you know, I got this guy, this artist coming in and blah, 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 and tells me a little bit about him. Mm-hmm. Well, I know this would be kind of cool. And you had seen the email too.
Mm-hmm.
You were in very much in agreement with this.
Yep.
So we tried to call him last week and it wasn't working.
No, because this
so
was meant
technology.
To be. Yeah.
It was meant to be. He goes, you know, I'm going to be coming in
yes.
to Trenton. I'm like, yes. oh, well, why don't we just do that? Let's just do like a live thing here
and
you know, see
here.
What you're all about.
Live and in person.
And then I find out some cool, other cool stuff about this guy.
Well, that's why we, oh. that's the whole point of the show.
He's like singing my song. And I'll give you a little spoiler alert. I'm drinking out of my Iron Man mug and that, and he's laughing already. That's going to account for something later.
I want a mug like that, but I want a Mr. America.
Okay. It's Captain America?
Yes, him.
Mr. America is like, and look, Steve, he can't hold it together. Look at him. Cracking up. Mr. America.
Captain America. I meant
no,
to
maybe
say-
I'll get you a Mr. America one. It'll be my face on it.
No, please. I don't want that.
How much more America can you get? Look at me. This is the face of America, folks.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, all right.
I'm sweating.
All right. I know. Because of the idea that Frank is Mr. America. Wow. It's making you all sweaty.
Okay. Please.
All right. Calm down. We have a guest here. Calm
I know.
Down.
I know.
Try and hold yourself together.
I am.
All right. All right, podcast here. Without further ado, we give you the artist extraordinaire, Mr. Yes. Stephen Bruce is with us here today. Why, wow, you hear that crowd? That thunderous crowd? Steve? How you doing, man? Welcome.
Good morning.
Good afternoon, actually.
I know, it's sipping
my brain is still stuck on California time.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Is that why you're so mellow? So, Steve, so tell me, you have a show coming up at the Ellerslie Museum, otherwise known as the Trenton City Museum, correct?
Thank you. Right, don't call it the Ellerslie Museum.
Yes, not the Ellerslie Museum, that's right. Did I just call it that? I think I just called it that,
you
right?
You did.
Yeah, the Ellerslie Museum.
You can call it the Ellerslie Mansion, or the Trenton City Museum.
I've never been sure to, so I make sure that I put it all in
there. Yeah, just don't cover your bases there.
So you got something going on in the city of Trenton.
Yes.
At the Ellerslie. It's an exhibit.
Yes.
So explain, Steve, explain a little bit to Podcastia, what is your basic style of art?
I thought I was inventing something new about 18 years ago. I manipulate oxidation on metal, and there's a fancy word. Patination, metal patination was the kind of the fancy art word.
Metal patination.
Yeah, but patina, the active.
Oh, okay, right.
But the idea was to manipulate color on metal without using paint through oxidation. And I thought that'd be a really interesting medium. My mentor told me, she said, it's great to have some wonderment in, you know, in your creativity. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I started doing this research and kind of went down this path and I had some friends that were artists and they would ask me, you know, what are you doing? And I say, well, I'm doing this copper patination. And like anything like One Nation Under a Groove or what is that? You know? and so I eventually had something to show them.
Right.
And there was an artist in California, Ed Haas, he was in his 80s at that point. And when he finally saw what I was doing, he looked at me and said, oh, acid paintings. We did that in the 50s.
Oh, so, oh
really? So, I never heard of that.
Yeah. And so basically you're taking some acidic form of etching is pretty much a process of acid painting. You're actually taking a some acidic formula and treating metal only in etching. You're strong enough that you could create an image on a plate.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually creating more of a superficial color change on metal and knowing what's going to happen to that piece of metal in terms of color, texture, I'm creating the scene for my paintings.
Mm-hmm. So you're painting on metal, in this case copper, let's say, and then you're just like using like a hit of acid,
could
correct?
Be. And I tell people, you know, I remember when I first started, you know, my mentor said, oh, don't use the word acid, it's so negative. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you
actually,
know.
The way I just said that actually sounded like,
well, you know,
you're painting on metal with a hit of acid.
I got to tell you, for about the first 5 years, people say, now, are you painting on copper with acid, or are you on acid?
Yeah, exactly. You're on acid, on copper.
You know, somehow patination didn't do it. And people, if you actually spell the word patina, there are all of the same letters that are in paint plus one A.
Oh, wow.
And people are pretty lazy. So when they see patina, they say, oh, painted copper, even if even though it says patina.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just say, okay, this is, you know, I got tired of correcting people.
Right.
And so I just said, well, I'm going to change it to acid painting because that's what Ed said.
Mm-hmm. And acid painting. That acid just painting. Sounds cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it adds. So first thing you do is go, what the hell are you doing? And yeah. And I tell people, see, you know, it's I use anything acidic. I mm-hmm. use ferric nitrate. I use pickle juice. I use hot sauce. I use pineapple juice. I use muriatic acid. I need some level of acidity to create color. Just the simple acids that are in the oils in our skin are enough to make a piece of copper change colors.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I get pickle juice. I get hot sauce. What was that first one you said?
Ferric nitrate?
Yeah, you say it like a cup of coffee.
You don't have some?
I still don't even know what he said.
Ferric nitrate.
Well, you were a science teacher.
Right.
So that's no fair.
So it's iron with nitrogen and oxygen.
So I tell people, I go to schools and I talk to kids about art and science. I met this professor from WPI, Worcester Poly Institute, up in Boston. I met him out in California at one of my exhibits. And he says, you know, I'd love it if you come back and talk to my students. Now, WPI is like prestigious, you know, brainiacs. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, this is kind of science light. This is a lot of fundamental science. And, you know, science is kind of like a language. Once you understand the fundamentals of it and you understand the principles of experimentation and recording data, to get, you know, expected outcomes, you just apply that. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, that's all true. He said, but I have a bunch of kids who would never think I'm going to go grab a piece of copper and put some pickle juice on it and create a painting. He says, it's the creativity in what you're doing is what I want my students to, you know.
Sure.
So when I'm talking to teachers, I say, you know, I'm not going to come in and I'm not going to dazzle you with a lot of AP, you know, chemistry stuff, mm-hmm. you know. Really what I do, you know, to create the colors that I have, the catalog of color that I have in my brain, I just do a lot of experimentation with anything acidic. And once I, you know, get some results that I want to, you know, replicate, I just do that over and over again until I can nail it down to where I can do it on call.
Right. Interesting.
And so.
Well, talking about schools, are you doing something with the schools here in Trenton?
That's probably the most exciting part of what I'm doing in Trenton. I have a nonprofit called the Skidmore Project, and it introduces kids to the, you know, the idea of art and science and the intersection of those two. Mm. I think that that science is so critical for young students, and especially you know, students who maybe struggle with the idea that science is this brainiac thing and art is not.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to connect those two, if I tell people if my teachers would have taught me science through art, I would have been a much better artist. And more importantly, I probably would have stayed plugged into science a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I met a teacher in Oakland, California, back in probably about 2008. And she was talking about, in particular her school, where she had children of color who weren't performing at levels, weren't excelling into the sciences.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought, you know, what I did would be a great, you know, way to kind of, you know, great hook. So we did an after-school program for about 2 years. And it was voluntary. Kids could sign up, where the kids got to come in and do some of what I do. So I bring in some copper plates. Kids come in. We bring anything from, you know, sriracha to pickle juice to mm-hmm. kimchi, anything that we could think of.
Wow.
And the kids get to play.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a exciting thing for the students and the teachers that started getting, you know, more and more requests. And so for about the last, probably 13 years, I've been traveling around the West Coast doing this, mostly in California, but I go up to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So a few years ago, I had some clients here, you know, on the East Coast, and my gallery representation is mostly here on the East Coast. So I said, would you come out here? And I said, yeah, sure. And so we put together a fundraiser to actually, the idea was to go around and serve 1,000 kids.
Okay.
Across the country.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the pandemic hit and kind of blew everything up. So.
Oh, okay.
So we did. So last year, I actually did a high school in Downingtown, PA, and we did it all virtual. I actually had to put together a virtual program and, you know, a presentation and everything.
Wow.
And we got all the research. So the big thing is all this is free.
Mm-hmm.
So the school doesn't pay anything. There's no PTA that pays anything. I raise the money. I have clients who believe in what I do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
professor from Worcester.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Very supportive of what I do, and which allows me to go and share, you know, what I do.
Right. Sure.
And hopefully, you know, kids, usually the kids get excited about it. And so for me, you know, having the show at the museum is fabulous. It's my first museum show.
Mm-hmm. Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But being able to, I'll see 500 kids when I'm here.
Wow.
I'll be in Ewing Township next week.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'll be in, and then one day in the middle of that week, I'll be at a school here in Trenton.
Right. Dunn, which one? Do you know which one?
Dunn Middle School.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Dunn mm-hmm. Middle School. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Very, very cool.
And then I'll come back, and it's a 2 day thing. So it's one day we come in and we talk about the, you know, the science of art and the art of science and the power of individual creativity. Cause I think it's the other part mm-hmm. that really want to empower young people to think about their own unique creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, what you could do with that.
Right. Right.
And then we actually get into the hands-on. All the kids get a piece of metal, and we, you know, we do our thing, and we treat it. And then we got, and the part of this is you got to record what happens, you know, so you can record the data. What sure. did I use? What time? You know, all
the
that
scientific
stuff.
Method,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
There you go.
And then we come back in about, you know, 4 days, and we rinse and we see what colors. And based on what they pick, what they chose,
right?
You know, we'll determine what colors they get.
That's cool.
And so, and then the other part of this, I believe. No, I don't believe. I know
mm-hmm.
that the kids from Dunn, mm-hmm. their art pieces will be on display at the Trenton City Museum at Ellerslie.
Oh,
on wow, the 21st.
Okay. See how we got that right? He said mm-hmm. at Ellerslie. Mm-hmm.
I got notes here. on the 21st. So on 21st, I go back for an artist talk
okay.
at 2 p.m.
That's great.
And it's open to the public.
But May,
the kids,
May 21st?
May 21st.
Yeah. Oh.
I know we're not in town,
but the kids, work that we'll do, you know, in between now and then we'll actually be finished.
Okay.
And we'll be, you know, on display so the kids could see and the parents could come see.
So the kids' artwork is going to be at the museum.
Yeah. They're going to do a little display out. I think I want to say
on the veranda.
On the veranda. Yeah.
Nice. That's so nice.
Yeah,
that's so
sure
beautiful.
Joan is happy with that.
This is a beautiful spot for so many events and activities and stuff. And being on the board, I know a lot of us are very interested in engaging the community because
yeah.
a lot of the community don't understand that this is for you. I mean, yes, we want the world to come and see it, but this is a Trenton place and this is a place for Trenton residents to come and enjoy art of all different kinds.
That's probably the one thing that I, you know, I learned quickly. Deborah might have mentioned the idea, mm-hmm. and I remember when she called me. She goes, "So, Steve, would you actually do this Skidmore project, you know, mm-hmm. locally?" I said, "Sure."
Oh, that's amazing!
And
that's
she goes,
great.
And she goes, just like that. I go, yeah. She goes, "What do we need to do? Just say you want to do it."
That's
and,
easy.
And
I'll have a plan like that when that comes. To
but somebody, you know, she came back. She says, "Well, someone asked me, you know, what do you really want?"
Right.
And I said, "You know, it's really I get to make a living as an artist."
Mm. That's, you know, amazing.
Mm-hmm. I could stop what I'm doing in California, drive across country,
mm-hmm.
and do this without worrying about how am I going to pay my bills, you know,
right,
and that
right.
stuff. And I think that's amazing. And
yes.
and mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that when you have an opportunity to do something that you love, it's you have to share that.
Yes.
Right now, I'm getting excited. Just the idea, because I know as soon as I walk in that classroom,
yeah.
there's been times where I walked in a classroom and I said, boy, I don't feel like doing this today. And as soon as I walk through a door and a kid comes up and grabs my leg and says, were you an Iron Man? I just go,
No,
I wasn't. I wasn't. But it changes your mood immediately. If you can't do something to excite some kids, you know, then why are you here?
When a painting or something creative that you're doing gets seen on a large scale, like in Iron Man 3, which your work was in, that's part of you. So part of you was in Iron Man. It came, came out of you.
Mm-hmm. I get, you know, I'm so detached from that process. I say that. So I met this lady in LA. She's a set designer. I'm doing a show in Burbank.
Okay.
And she walks up. And I mean, I hadn't sold a piece of artwork. I don't think anybody even talked to me. And so she starts talking to me about, you know, that she liked to use my artwork. And one of the things that she said was she was the hottest set designer in Hollywood. So if someone says that to you,
mm-hmm.
you automatically start throwing out the discount cards.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, oh. And so, you know, I listened to her, you know, and when she got in, she gave me her card. I said, you know, she said, I hope you'll consider it. Well, typically when I do an exhibit, people I met, they shared a card or they signed a guest book, I follow up. send them an email thanking them. And I did that with her. And she wrote back to Stephen, I hope you will consider, you know, allow me to use your work.
Right.
One the show she had, she said was the number one show on television was Two and a Half Men.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I knew that Two and a Half Men subject wasn't really highbrow. And I knew my mother probably wasn't real. You know. And so I was like, yeah.
It all comes down to what mom thinks.
You know, I used my mom and kind of go, really? And so I just told her, I said, well, you know, doesn't sound like a good fit for me.
Right.
I didn't understand the business. There are, I imagine, more than one gallery that do this, but the gallery that I'm associated with, they provide artwork for the entertainment industry.
Okay.
It could be a TV show. It could be a Super Bowl commercial.
Sure.
It could be a Wrigley Spearmint gum. Mm-hmm. And these set designers, you know, kind of look at what they have an idea what they want to do on the set.
Right.
And then they send, you know, a junior assistant in mm-hmm. and just to kind of, you know, and they pick out the work and then they'll kind of, you know, do a little FaceTime back and then confirm. And then somebody, you know, production truck comes and picks everything up. Mm-hmm. So when she explained it to me like that, she said, well, I'm working on a new show called Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, I hate sci-fi. And so, because
if you. Yeah. Right, it sounds like
there was
it.
No Big Bang, there was no show yet. Mm. And I was like, yeah. I said, well, I'll tell you, I'll look into it. I was in L.A., and I went by the gallery. The lady, you know, kind of chopped it up with me, and she explained it a little better. She said, your work's going to get seen by not just this one set designer. They all come here. And so I took the work in. I think I was coming back from a show in Arizona, and she picked, I think, about 19 pieces.
Wow.
Wow, really?
And I had like five for her. You know, I was still unsure. You know, she's sure. like, well, give me that one, too. Give me that one, too. And I was like, yeah. And I did. And they so they do. They rent them or they buy them. So Iron Man, they bought them. Iron Man 3, they bought them. Mm-hmm.
They
bought the paintings.
In Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
They bought that off of you.
There were two of them, and they bought them.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Now, two identical?
No, they're similar, but it's really funny because I document everything I create. So I create work, I take it to a photographer, I, you know, shoot the images. For some reason or another, he dropped one of the images. So I only have a photo of a physical photo of one of them.
Right.
But you know, they ended up at the gallery and then they sold. So I can only find one in my you know, if I go back into my files, mm-hmm. but they bought both of them. When they rent them, so you think, oh, I don't want to rent them. I'd rather them buy them because it's more money.
Right.
Well, when they rent them for a fraction of the cost of the piece.
Sure. Right. That makes sense.
So a piece that's $22,000, I think rents for about maybe 25%, so $500 bucks. Mm-hmm. Now that $500 bucks, you only get, I think, maybe 20%.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I said. Mm-hmm. Right?
You're making $100.
Right. Yeah. That's what I said.
Right.
That's what I said when I got the first check.
There's something missing here.
I was like, $71.50? Really? I was like,
wow. Know?
And then the next time a check came, you know, it was, you know, like $140. Okay. And what I didn't realize is that I have 19 pieces in this gallery.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when the checks start showing up, you know, $1,000, $1,500 a month.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
And you don't. And you don't, I work harder grabbing this cup of water
mm-hmm.
than I do to get that money. And
right.
so,
right.
and I was like, oh.
Now it's making sense. Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, and even at that point, I never looked to see where the work was.
Right, right.
They send you a piece of paper and it says, you know, who used it, the production company, the date, name of the project, and the check. And of course, I just open up, pull the check out,
yeah.
and go cash
the
check.
Yeah. Right, it's like reading a birthday card, and there's a check in there. And you have to make believe you're reading the card. And you're like, I just want the check.
and so, one point I finally read one. I'd work in Horrible Bosses.
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, I see the thing. It doesn't say, I can't remember if it said Horrible Bosses or not. I think it said the production company. If you Google the production company and the project name, it comes up Horrible Bosses.
Oh, okay, right.
And when I Googled it.
Was it the first one or the second one?
First one.
It was the first Horrible Bosses.
Okay. And so when I Googled it, it says, you know, Horrible Bosses just signed all-star cast. You know, it lists everybody. And I go, oh, shit. I guess I'll go see this. So I waited, you know, and I got a friend of mine who's an artist, and I don't know. I mean, it's like, I tell him about it, and he says, we got to get some suits on and go down to the movie and take some pictures by the cutouts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you serious? He goes, yeah, man. You know, grab a blazer. I go, I'm like, are you for real? He goes, yeah.
Grab a blazer.
So, he shows up. He's got a blazer on.
Right, right.
I'm like, I go, why do you have a blazer on? He goes, man, do you know how many women I'm going to get when they know that I know you?
And I go, there you go. Okay, well, I guess there's something.
I said, you know, that's amazing because I hadn't even figured out what was good for me yet.
He's just trying to figure out what a blazer is.
So the movie came out. My now wife and I went to it. And of course, I'm waiting. You know, I've never seen my artwork on TV. And this is late. This is probably 5 years later. I think the first scene in Horrible Bosses is Kevin Spacey's, you know, office, you know.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, this could be me. You know, it's contemporary space.
Sure.
That's not me. And the next scene is Donald Sutherland's office, and he's got, like, wood paneling and a moose on the wall. So I'm kind of thinking, okay, I'm probably not in here. When it comes to Jennifer Aniston, you know, there's a scene where, you know, she calls her dental assistant in, the guy she's, you know, sexually harassing.
Right.
Previous scene fades to black, and the new scene opens up, and the guy walks in, and Jennifer Aniston turns around, and she has a schmuck on.
Yeah, you know, just a shirt, yeah.
And her panties. But to the side of her is my artwork. And so, of course, I'm sitting in the theater, you know, and I jump up and I scream.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh, my God. And my wife's going, it's his artwork. It's just his artwork.
No, it's not Jennifer Aniston in her panties. He's screaming at his artwork.
Oh, my God.
I kid you not. She was so embarrassed because... And so I can't.
What was she more embarrassed about? The fact that you were screaming at your artwork and not a woman in her panties? Or...
Oh my God, I sympathize.
It did look like a big perv moment. But and so you know, I came home. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. I was like, I go grab my files. I pull all these things from the last 5 years. You know, going, where's my artwork been?
Right.
Yeah. And so you know, I'm seeing these, you know, Big Bang Theory, you know, and I'm going, Big Bang Theory. You know, I still don't know what Big Bang Theory is. I just got a TV during the pandemic.
You never watched Big Bang Theory, really?
You didn't have a TV.
I didn't have a TV. During the pandemic, my wife said, can we get a TV?
I am so impressed right now that you have not had a TV until just recently.
Well,
that's amazing. That's great.
I get up, I go to the studio, and I could be in the studio all day and be totally entertained.
So wow.
I take that back. I did have a TV because I could watch it. I could watch a video.
Right.
You know? Oh,
okay. Right.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
But I went to Netflix because I Googled social network. I didn't even know what social network was. This is like 2 years after the movie came out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I Google it, and it says social network. I go, what's that? So I PM, and it says, you know, 6 screen actors, you know, or, you know, SAG Awards and, you know, 3 Academy Awards. And I'm going, what the hell? Oh, my God. So I go rent a, you know, Netflix movie, you know, when you used to have to go get the Netflix movie or the little box.
Yes, yes.
That's Redbox.
Remember Netflix? It's not the same thing? Netflix, you used to order it, remember? Before they streamed
they had
it.
That mail-in.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Remember
that's
those
right.
days?
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
So I watched the movie.
It wasn't even that long ago.
And I watched the whole movie and I didn't see my artwork. And I was like, oh my God, they cut me out. And I'm thinking to myself, how could they cut me out? They used like 4 pieces in that movie.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know how this thing works. And so I just kind of said, well, maybe they cut me out. And as I'm watching the credits roll, I see a picture that you just showed where the artwork is behind the guy.
Yeah, right.
And
Jesse Eisenberg. Yeah.
That's a reoccurring scene in the movie.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going, wait a minute. If it's there, you know, so I go back to the beginning of the movie.
Right.
That piece isn't. I saw that piece probably 500 times in that movie. I got into the movie.
Oh, so you didn't.
I was like,
he's watching the movie looking for his artwork, and he winds up getting into the film.
And misses his artwork.
Those bastards didn't use my painting.
And
wow.
The character was such a jackass. You
know? He was.
Yeah,
And I was so, you know, I remember after the movie, I was thinking, well, I really hated that guy. And he's an actor.
Mm-hmm. He's a good actor, apparently.
But I went back and I could see, you know, of course, then I could see once I realized where the scene was.
Right.
So the same pieces as in Horrible Bosses is in the hallway.
Yeah.
In this movie, Social Network. And then, of course, the piece that's behind him. The piece that's actually behind him in Social Network is the same movie that was in
Iron Man.
In the Avengers. Iron
so
Man,
the first Avengers?
Yeah, yeah.
And Iron Man 3.
So Iron Man 3 is two different pieces.
Oh, okay, so okay. Iron Man 3, I know, I believe, is in Tony Stark's house. Mm-hmm. Was the same one in the Social Network.
Yeah. They sent that piece back in the Avengers. they damaged that piece of artwork.
Oh, that's right. You said that. They damaged it.
They damaged it. And they told me that they never used it. And they damaged it. You know, they damaged it, but it wasn't their fault. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't want to pay. They didn't want to pay. They didn't want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, well, you know, so it was really funny because I didn't think it made sense, you know, but everybody's looking at me like I got, you know, like I got spinach on my teeth.
They broke it and they wanted to say, oh, we didn't use it.
Right. Well, the funny thing was I thought, okay, you know, that doesn't sound.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but I didn't see it, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I wasn't there. And right. so, but what was funny was they said it was faulty wiring. You see it in Social Network.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing faulty about the wiring.
No.
That same piece was in Big Bang Theory. That same piece was in House.
Right.
What does that even mean, faulty
wire? The wire in the back. That hangs it.
I think it's a term that you use and you hope nobody asks a question. What does that mean?
Am I supposed to know what that means?
I thought he had it like lit from behind or something. So it was faulty wiring.
So the gallery said, well, you know, why don't you take a look at it and see if you could fix it and we'll just charge them for the repair. And I'm thinking, I was like, that doesn't make sense. Because I'm looking at invoices that pay me for 16 weeks of rental. So if you paid for 16 weeks of rental, why would you pay me if you didn't use it?
Mm-hmm.
If it broke the first time you got ready to handle it.
Right.
Right.
But, I, it's like the opportunity is probably more important than getting it, you know.
Sure, sure.
You know, half mm-hmm. the value of the piece. And mm-hmm. so I just, you know, I said, okay, you know, let me go pick up the piece. And so I drove down to L.A. and picked up the piece. I ended up having to cut it down. I think I lost about 4 inches on the length and about 2 inches on the height of it.
Right.
And I was like, okay, you know, I'll take the hit on that. And I believe that when they said they didn't use it. And so I saw the movie. I didn't see it in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I started watching the movie again. And so when Iron Man 3 came out, I knew I had work, you know, that they had used. And so I went on their website to try to find it.
Sure.
And as soon as I went on it, the first thing I found was that image from the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Of Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. And I thought to myself, oh, I didn't use it. What kind of nonsense was that?
Right, right.
And so I was like, what a bunch of bull. I was like, a budget like that, why are you worried about the cost of that piece?
Right.
Yeah,
you
know, really.
Right.
Yeah, really.
And so, but you know, again, I say, you know, okay, chalk that one up. The story's probably better than the money they would have gave me. And, but you know, 2015, I think it was 2016. I get a call that says they'd like to use the piece again if you still have it. And I said, you mean the piece they never used?
Yeah, really?
The one that they never used. That's so funny.
I thought, wow. Only I had a collector who was interested in that piece.
Okay.
Because she was a big, you know, from Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And she actually probably has about 17 pieces of mine. And so,
wow.
That she personally owns now?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's renting them out.
Right? You know, I got to tell you, I thank her every day because, I mean, she bought work, you know, probably in my first, you know, year and a half of mm-hmm. showing. And she saw something, you know, at that point as an artist, you just want somebody to, you know, affirm what you're doing.
Sure. Yeah.
And so so I always thank her for that. But she wanted to buy the piece and the piece was worth a lot more now than it was. So I sold that piece to a collector. And so when they called me and said, do you have the piece? I said, well, surely if you don't remember if you used it, you won't remember if I make a new one.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Right.
So I just made another piece and made it as close to the other one as I could.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure.
And shipped it off to them, you know, and so that picture that you see, the second picture, is from that set.
The one mm-hmm. without Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
So kind of a crazy business. and one of the things I share with the students about, you know, about harnessing your creativity is,
sure,
that, you know, we don't know. I'm sure, you know, 15 years ago, you didn't know you have a podcast. You know,
no.
But you knew that you had a talent for communicating with people, and how do I use this talent that, you know, that I've been gifted with, you know? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And so one of the things I tell the kids, you know, it's like, you're your own podcast, your own information, your own entertainment.
Yeah.
And everybody doesn't have to like what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You just need 2.3 million people.
Yeah, absolutely
like
right.
What you do.
Right.
And,
right.
And you know, of course, out of all the people, you know, who are going to see what you do, it might be only a fraction. 2.3 is good, you know,
sure.
And 2.6 is better.
2.6 is even better.
Yeah. Right. And so that's one of the things I try to convey to the kids, you know. I usually ask them, who would give me $100 for one of these? And of course, very few, there's always one really nice kid who wants to make me feel good and says, you know, I would. and I tell them, I say, that's the beautiful thing about this. People pay me thousands of dollars for this, and I don't need everybody to like it. I need four people, five people a month to like me.
Right.
Right.
And that's what I want them to understand. You don't need everybody to like you. You need your people.
That's it.
Right.
You find your people and you'll be good in this world.
Yeah.
Were you always an artist?
I spent 20 years in retail management. I was actually, I worked for a company called Lucky Stores, which was in California. Okay. There's actually something out here too. I'm not sure what they were out here, but it was a national company. And I was a manager. And for a little stint, I went in and worked in the marketing department. Mm-hmm. So I had some ideas about marketing. My wife at the time wanted to quit her job. And we thought, you know what? I think I want to sell black art. And I was like, yeah, that's a real big population there. You know, because not everybody buys art.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, you know, but if we could expand that and we make it children's books,
mm-hmm,
and greeting, wow, cards.
That's great.
You know, okay.
Those are things people will always spend money on for,
sure,
a book.
Right, absolutely.
Right.
And people will always buy greeting cards. And then, you know, if you walk into, you know, any, you know, Hallmark, or they still have Hallmark, American greeting cards.
They actually do.
Yes. You could walk in and you could, wow, find greeting cards that represent ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, in 1988, when my daughter was born, I went to the gift shop, bought some little baby cards with pink babies on them, and colored them all in. And so I thought, there has to be a market for this.
Yes. You know?
I colored them all in.
Well, I mean, I think of myself, you know, why can't there be like a little brown baby? You know,
yeah, yeah.
Right, have one row.
Right.
And
right.
So, you know, my friends thought I was crazy, you know.
That is,
but that makes so much sense.
That is a home run. That's just gold right there.
Right.
But I love that. So, but now you walk in now, and you can, you know, you can see anything.
Yes,
you
know, yes.
I think the first time I went in, I was like, okay, there has to be some place. So I lived in Sacramento at the time, and I went into this black neighborhood, and it was a pharmacy store or whatever, you know, kind of, you know, sells greeting cards and everything.
Right.
And, you know, the only thing you could find was like a glossy, you know, greeting card with a guy with a Jackson 5, you know, natural, you know,
I remember
thing, you know.
Yes.
You know. And so, yes. I was like, well, wait,
you actually remember those?
Yes, yeah. I do.
I'm like, we're way past that.
Yeah.
So I was really kind of coaching my wife in this business. And one of the things that we found very quickly was that the art that was on the greeting cards,
right,
or in the books were just reproductions of artists' work that they had licensed.
Oh, okay.
And so as artists, as I was exposing these artists' works, mm-hmm, you know, artists were going, you know, what are you doing? You know, like, people are calling me, and I said, I told them, I said, you know, I'm just, you know, just getting your work out there, you know, a little marketing, common sense,
mm-hmm,
and of course, marketing isn't common sense to artists because they don't teach that, and so
right, exactly,
and so
it's not taught,
and so as I did that, I became friends with, you know, a large population of artists, and they would say, man, you know, you really have a talent for this. Because I would teach them, I would tell you know, that's really nice, but, you know, if you do this, you know, and you frame it this way, and you put it this way, you know. And so one of my friends said, you got to be an artist. I was like, I'm no artist. Like, a matter of fact, when I was in grade school, the nuns used to tell me, Stephen, you're so bad, when we get done cleaning up, when we get done with art, you could clean up, and we'll give you a C. And of course, you know, I was happy because anything, mm-hmm, less than a C was, mm-hmm, gonna get you, you know, some trouble. And so,
right, right. Yeah.
And so I firmly believe
when I would bring home a D, my parents would throw a party.
Oh, geez, no, man,
yeah, it was bad.
Oh, I always thought that I had no artistic talent.
Hmm. Interesting.
I have three children, mm-hmm, and they're all amazing artists.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, I have one daughter who's a pastry chef who's just like, you know, you like, what?
Hmm.
You made a cake, it looks like a Ferrari, you know.
Yeah,
and
those are amazing.
And the other one is a culinary chef.
Right.
My son can draw. And so I would say, yeah, they got it from their mother.
Hmm.
But as my friends kept encouraging me, one of them said to me, art is not about execution. It can be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more about creativity, and that's the most important component.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody has to draw a picture of the church, you know, well, we have no new visions. if everybody's drawing a picture of the church exactly the way the church looks. But for you to harness something that doesn't even exist and create something that people can look at and enjoy, that's, you know, that's unique.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, I had this crazy idea about, you know, putting pickle juice on copper. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of, you know, I just kind of, you know, went down that road. My mentor, her name is Karen Hale. She's an artist in the Gold Country in California, Jackson, California. And Karen's been a working artist since the age of 17. And she's, I won't say how old she is, but I know that she's 15 to 16 years older than me.
How old are you? How old are you?
I'm 62.
Oh, so there you go. Yeah. But spoiler alert, we just figured out the age.
Karen's been a working artist her whole life.
Wow.
And when I say that, her husband doesn't have a job where he or she could afford to be an artist.
Okay.
She creates the living and her husband works for her.
Are you serious?
That is
really?
Awesome.
Since the age of 18.
That is 18. Boss, yeah. Man.
And I'm telling you, whether you like her style, her business savvy, her creativity, mm-hmm. her willingness to change, because as artists we have to be willing to change what we do.
Sure.
You mm-hmm. know? And so, you know, she kind of took me under her wing. I have no idea why she was so nice to me. And so, but I thank her every time I talk to her. And I try to pass it on to everybody I get a chance to do because none of us do it alone. You know, mm-hmm. somebody else.
Right, right.
And so, but yeah, she said, you know, Stephen, you got, she was be original, be different, work hard. She goes, I work every day. Mm-hmm. She says, artists, she goes, you work every day. Michael Jordan doesn't make highlights every day. Mm-hmm. But he works every day so that the highlights show up more frequently.
Right, there you go.
And so,
sure, the more you work on it, the more possibility you have to shine more.
Yeah.
I know you're a believer mm-hmm. because of what you've been saying. I know you believe this is a gift. Do you believe this is what God has called you to do?
I think God's probably called me to, maybe before I started doing this, people would say, you're a great teacher. Right out of college. Not like I finished it, but I was right out of it.
right out that door.
I was a counselor at my high school.
Okay.
And I remember I left that and I said, that's a tough gig, And then I started coaching and I spent a lot of years coaching kids. And even when my kids were gone, I coached kids. And people would say, you have a gift. I knew that I had a gift for that. I think I have a calling to share with young people. Mm-hmm. And this allows me to do that. So mm-hmm. the gift of I tell people, some people want to grade artist, is he the next Rothko? Is he the next, Richard Mayhew, I make a living creating art. Mm-hmm. And because I get to do this, I think it's imperative for me to share. And the people I want to share that with mostly are students. Now, granted, sometimes I'm working with adults and I coach artists, For those who get a chance to have whatever they define as success, they owe it to our creator to go out and share that success with people.
Right.
And I don't care what it is, whether it's business, whether it's playing basketball. If you aren't doing that, when the time comes, I don't know how that whole process is going to work. But,
right.
I hope to have a whole body of work behind me. Mm-hmm. And the other part, it just feels good.
Right.
It feels good.
And right. So every day is a joy.
Oh, my God. I told you, driving out here, going in the snow, and I'm thinking to myself, first thing I started thinking, I had this whole thing about me and prayer. It's like, all these people in the world, and they're all calling on some prayer,
Right.
And so mm-hmm. I started, I like to kind of think, if I had to rank the important prayer, where's this one coming in,
Because
he's busy.
What's he busy doing? What is God busy doing?
I'm just saying, they say, he hears everything. I was like, okay, but I tried to find my work in a movie and I was really trying. So maybe he got distracted with somebody.
First of all, listen, rewind this interview a couple of minutes. You clearly were not busy looking. You got into the movie and you missed it right in front of you.
I guess my point is, as I'm driving across the country and I'm thinking about all, so I start thinking about what could go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I have this motto that just says, put your trust, put your faith in, mm-hmm. and then let, because sometimes what we want to happen, not the plan.
Exactly.
And yes. we think it's the plan because right. we think we have, because I think our because we think we need to have some control in it.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started, I remember I got divorced. I made it through years of child support and alimony.
Right.
And I can remember telling you know people, all I just wanted to survive this. And I lost my house, you know, but I didn't miss my child support and I didn't miss my alimony payments. And I can remember before I even started my first show, I flew out to the East Coast. I was representing an artist, doing some shows, and I thought, man, this is it. I got to make the money. You know, I was doing some exhibits around D.C., and I had this idea that I was going to make about 30 grand in about 6 weeks. And I thought that will hold me until I get, you know, this artist career off the right. ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that my first exhibit was in Chicago, and I left my sales pouch in my rental car with all the checks and cash.
Oh.
And the only thing I could recover, and the credit card receipts, the only thing I could recover were orders. So it was about 10 grand.
Wow.
Dude.
Yeah. I feel like somebody just like plucked my plums. And I was kind of going, oh my God.
Yeah.
And
oh man.
And so I got on the plane and shipped all my stuff to DC and got to DC. The first exhibit I had, this lady told me all these people are going to be there, and I get set up and nobody shows up. Oh, and I'm going,
no.
I'm going. And what she didn't tell us was that, you know, this exhibit is downstairs in the basement. And all the people are upstairs.
Right. Oh,
so they
wow. don't
so they only come down when they want a cookie or something. And so I'm just like, and so I'm getting sick, and then I finally get to the next exhibit, and it started out bad, but it got better,
right?
And I did one more, and it got good, and I went to another exhibit, and you know, I was back here for like 6 weeks. I just remember getting on the plane, going, this is not my plan. So this is where the prayer comes in, and you're sitting in my chair, and I'm kind of a conversation, you know, and I'm mm-hmm. thinking to myself, you know, what are you trying to tell me, you know. I'm doing the work. I'm doing this. I'm trying to do this. Trying to do, you know. And this lady sat down next to me, and she was whimpering on the plane. And, you know, when somebody sits next to you on the plane, you kind of, you know, what are you doing? and so I kept trying to ignore her. And I finally said, you know, are you okay? And she said, I'll be okay. And she kept on whimpering. And then I said, you know, are you sure? And she said, you know, I don't want to bother you with my problems, you know. I said, no, it's fine. Her mother had just passed away.
Right.
Her sister was stage 4. Cancer. Her mother just died of breast cancer.
Right.
And she had another sister who had breast cancer. And she shares this with me. And I'm going, okay, all right, okay. I know my little 30 grand thing ain't really that big right now.
Right. Yeah.
And but that was my plan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right.
I came back and I thought, okay, you know, let's dig into this, you know. And I was living at my mother's house. Mm-hmm. And I did my first show. And this young lady bought one little piece. And you would have thought I won the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And the promoter, so my mentor, her daughter runs a bunch of art festivals in California.
Sure.
She said, Stephen, if you want to come out and show, you can come out. I won't charge you unless you make some money. And that no promoter does that.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And so she said, what I'll do is you don't pay any money until you make some money. And if you don't make any money, you don't have to pay anything.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so I came out.
It's got the exposure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in my first show, I sold one piece, $150, you know. Second week, I came out and I sold like $1,800.
Wow.
And I was like, And then she said, well, you want to come back? She said, well, let's do this every week. You tell me how much money you need to make before right. I start charging you.
Sure.
And so I came back the third week and set up was in Lake Tahoe. It was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday show. And at 10:45 on Friday, some lady walked up and she asked me about the work. She asked me prices and she said, that's nice. She says, I'll take everything on that wall. I'll take everything on that wall.
Oh my God.
And I was like, you know, it's vibrating, you know, like, and then it just took off like that. It's been nonstop since 2006.
Congratulations, wow. man. That's fantastic.
And so man. I say that because I had this little rinky dink plan.
I know,
about,
right?
About, God, please help me get $30,000, you know.
Right.
And you know, and he doesn't say, hey, I got you. I got a better plan. He doesn't do that.
Right.
You got to go through the process.
Right. And you got to have the faith. You got to believe. Yeah. You got to trust them.
My mom say, having a concept of faith gives you an understanding of what may come in the future if you, you know, if you, without, you don't have to see it. If you don't see it.
Right. Sure.
And if you don't have it, you know, you aren't evil.
No.
But you just don't understand why somebody had, you know, why do you have faith in this? They don't understand the concept.
Exactly.
And so, so I I laugh about that. And I don't know how long we're going, but I leave here, I go to Memphis. My wife's nominated for a Blues Music Award.
That's amazing.
Nice.
Wait a minute.
Can you say her name?
Wait. What's her name? Can you get that name right?
Her name's My Woman. No.
Oh, Lord.
That's like a song. I got a woman. There it goes down. She's good to me.
Her name's, I say that because when we're back in California, when I get in Memphis tomorrow, people will, she has a different last name, because, you know, stage name, and people will call me her last name. So I always say, you know, when they introduce you, I say, it's My Woman.
What's her name, dude?
Her name is Terry Odabi.
Terry Odabi.
Yeah, and it's T-E-R-R-I-E and O-D-A-B-I.
Mm-hmm. And where is she performing?
She's not performing. She's nominated. And it's kind of like the Country Music Awards or the Grammys, you know.
Okay.
And she's, I think she's nominated for Soul Blues category.
Nice.
And this is her 7th nomination.
Wow.
And we don't think that this is the year, just because, you know, she hasn't really put out any new music, you know. I mean, not a lot. But you know, you keep the faith and you go through the, you got to do the work and you show up.
Sure.
And so, but she performed in this thing called the International Blues Challenge.
Right.
It's every year, it's in Memphis. 600 bands come from all, 200 bands come from all over the world. And these bands have pared down in competitions, for, you know, so there's probably, you know, thousands of bands that go through these competitions.
Right.
I think the year she was there, I know she competed against a band from, I'm trying to think where they're from, New Jersey. And it narrows down there. It's kind of like American Idol kind of thing, you know.
Right,
sure. Uh-huh. Down. And the first year she did it, you know, she nailed it. I mean, every time she performed, you know, people went crazy. You know,
right.
And but she lost in the semifinals to this group from the Philippines, and it was like everybody's like, what? And just like, there's no way. You know, well, how did this happen? We went to Mississippi, and some people from Canada said, "Hey, aren't you the girl that got robbed in Memphis?" But the night that they announced, you know, the win, you know, the people who moved on, you know, she was crushed. I said, "We got to shake it off. We got to go down to the Orpheum, because everybody's there, all the promoters, all the people who book. You know, you got to go out and network."
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she's like, "I can't." And she cried all night, and I told her, I said, "You know, I know this was your plan, but sometimes it's not the plan."
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I told her a story about me, and I've told her 100 times. Said, you know, sometimes we have this plan, and it's not the plan, and so you know, you got to believe that all the things that you did, you know, were important, but maybe the results that you wanted are going to be better than what you wanted.
Right.
That was 2014, I think. She's had 7 nominations. She travels the world singing.
Wow.
The band that you know went past her, you know, I mean, you can't find them.
Mm.
And he had a better plan.
Right.
You know, I know some people, you know, say, you know, it sounds corny. You know, I said, but you know, it really is. That's really
well, it's not corny. I mean, that's just truth. Like you talked about how, you know, he won't tell you the plan, but he actually does, because in the Bible it says, it talks about him being your rear guard, which means he's got your back. He's got your back.
Yeah.
And you know, he has a plan for your life, which that's like, I wish people would understand. Every single person, he has a plan that's great for their lives.
Right.
I think have to tap into somehow.
Yeah. I think that people, so I was thinking about this earlier. I used to, you know, I'm always fascinated how people get religion right at the end, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he's got 4 days to live, you know. And, you know, next thing you know, you go to the service, you know, and, you know, he accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior yesterday.
Hey, man.
It's kind of like.
God doesn't care how he gets you.
Hey, when I hear that, I think about when you played hide and seek, you know, at the last minute, you know.
Mm.
You know, and all y'all come for, you know, you can run in, touch the bases, you get in there, I'll run in. But I say that because, you know, because most of us get there in our time. Mm-hmm. And again, not everybody's time is the same. And that, exactly. And the things that,
yep.
You know, I could tell you, if you had talked to me about this, you know, in 2004, you know, when I was struggling, you know, losing my family, you know, and being pain, and I don't know if I would have been, you know, I probably would, didn't have such a, you know, rosy outlook. But I think part of that is, you know, you start talking, you start having conversations, you know, God, you start saying, you know, what do you want me to do? How do you want to use me? You know, and those kind of things. And,
then they
start happening. And so, like I said, for me, this is, you know, this is crazy. I just drove across country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And somebody, I was talking on the phone last night, and they go, so you're driving, are they paying you? I said, no, I'm not paying you. Are you serious? No, man. I said, are you kidding? I'm so jacked up right now. I said, you know, I'm like, in next week, this time, I'm going to be at a school with a bunch of kids on the East Coast, you know, and they're going to be, you know, and they're going to, you know, first they're going to go crazy about Iron Man. And
of course.
Right, right.
But after that, they're going to be going, oh, look, Mom, you know, I put some, you know, I put some ketchup and some Valentina hot sauce on a piece of copper.
And, I know. And that's exciting.
Yeah. And so I'm thankful not only for the opportunity to have an exhibit at the museum, but I'm really, you know, I don't know if I would have found, if I had an opportunity to, you know, to bring the Skidmore Project to the East Coast.
Right.
I will be at a school in Downingtown, PA. This is a school, so the school that I did virtually last year, I'm going back there and doing it in person.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think I'll be at Fisher Middle School in in Ewing Township.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's 280 kids. And I think,
wow.
We worked like crazy trying to connect with schools in Trenton. Apparently Trenton's has a little bit of bureaucracy.
you think just a bit, maybe
a little bit.
I could tell you, I've been working on this since November, connecting with a school in Trenton. I had a school in Ewing signed up in December. I've made connections with teachers who have, you know, I've been talking to. We've never even really met, you know. Just, you know, yeah, I think I know somebody. I might be able to help, you know.
Right.
And like I said, I just got this, you know, Hail Mary, and of course. For me, I was committed to finding a school. I told Joan from the museum, I said, you know, she said, we really would like you to find a group, Trenton. And when it really got difficult, they said, you know, Stephen, you've tried hard enough. I said, you know what? If a school shows up at the opening and says, hey, can you come? Mm-hmm. I'm going to be here for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and so we found one.
We've got 280 kids. And what are the possibilities? I mean, if one of those kids could be like the next Stephen Bruce. Mm-hmm. One of those kids, their artwork could be an Iron Man 4. You don't know.
I tell them there are so many possibilities, you know, that you don't got to be the next Stephen Bruce. You could be, you know, you could be the next whatever you name are, you
right,
know, and
right.
And whatever that thing is,
right.
But probably the most important thing is, you know, as young people, we spend all of our time trying to impress other kids, you know, our friends,
right,
And my mother used to tell us, find your people. Mm-hmm. Find the people that, you know, support what you do, you know, who support you, you know, good time or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find your people, you know, that's what life is about. You know, no matter what, it just goes outside of that. You know, you can still find your people.
Absolutely.
Right.
So.
Well, as we wrap up, Podcastia, here's where you can find out about this exhibit. So if you're in and around Trenton, New Jersey, you may want to check this one out. Mastering Alchemy Works on Copper. Stephen Bruce, he is the featured artist. May 7th to May 29th, 2022. The opening reception, Saturday, May 7th from 4 to 7 p.m. And don't forget the Gallery Talk and Student Show on Saturday, May 21st at 2 o'clock. This guy's artwork, let me tell you, it can be seen on the sets of many TV shows, including The Big Bang Theory, House, Law & Order, Criminal Minds, Californication. The movie Californication? Or there was a TV show?
TV show, HBO. Or Showtime.
Okay.
When it went on.
Californication on Showtime, Last Man Standing, The American Housewife. His work has been in The Avengers, Iron Man 3, Avengers Endgame, Horrible Bosses, The Social Network. this guy, he gets around. Now, you weren't in Avengers. Your work was in Avengers.
Well, sure. Oh, that would have been cool, too.
I'm still trying to figure out how to get a hologram kind of, you know.
I can even make that happen somehow. Do like a deep fake on Robert Downey Jr.'s body.
Oh, wow.
Steve Bruce's face. We'll put you in the Iron Man suit. We could do that.
I like the idea of just putting my face on Iron Man. It's kind of one of those scenes.
We can totally do that.
I'm sure somebody can.
We can do
he
it.
He can do it.
I can do it right now. Once we get off, here's what we're going to do. He's totally enjoying that. Look at him.
I, you know... I told you, the movie stuff is funny because it's, you know, as my mom says, you know, you're still just Steven Bruce. You know?
Right, right.
But the Gee, idea thanks, that, Mom. But you know, but this is the idea of, like, you know, putting my head on Iron Man.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that as soon as we break. We're going to do that. I'm going to show you how simple it is.
Okay.
It's very cool. Right. We're going to do that. Okay. You got anything else to share?
Don't forget First Friday.
First Friday, this Friday.
Because this Friday.
That's right. Steve, you need to cheer up, dude. You need to cheer up. Look at him. He's out of frame. He's out of frame.
He fainted.
I don't know what the hell laughter. He's laughing at. I don't know what he's laughing at.
You.
I love the interaction.
Mm. All right. Anyway.
Do you have anything to promote?
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
What do I possibly have?
Something's happening in June.
Oh, June 11th.
Yes.
That's right, June 11th. Podstock. Get your tickets, people. Podstock.us. It's going to be an amazing podcast conference. This is not your daddy's podcast conference. I'm going to tell you that right now.
My daddy didn't have one.
Your daddy didn't have a podcast conference? No, poor guy.
He did.
I could have sworn your daddy had one, and that's why I'm saying it's not your daddy's one. Saturday, June 11th, 2025, from noon to 6, and then you come to the block party afterwards. It's going to be an amazing, amazing day. It's a plethora of information that you're going to get about podcasting. If you've ever wanted to start a podcast, if you've been podcasting, it doesn't matter. You're welcome. Come one, come all. Podstock.us. Get your tickets. $99. It's a steal for the information you're going to be getting. And you get a very, really, really cool swag bag, too.
Oh, yeah.
Really cool swag bag. So we'll be going to the Ellerslie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Trenton City Museum at Ellerslie.
At the Ellerslie Mansion. Yes.
At the Ellerslie Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
It is a mansion.
It is a mansion.
It's a beautiful building.
Yes.
So are you excited about that, Steve?
I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Cool. Well, that is yet another episode of Trenton Waves.
Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at trentonwaves.com.